Please be seated. If you are my age or older, which at the 8 o'clock service was pretty much everybody, don't tell them I said that. But if you are my age or older, at some point on Friday, you paused and remembered exactly where you were when you heard that President Kennedy had been assassinated. It was just one of those moments in history that you don't forget. I was in the first grade at Glenwood Elementary School in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. It was a big day for me. It was a special day. It was an exciting day for me, and it is one I'd been looking forward to for at least a week. You see, my family lived very close to Glenwood Elementary, and so I would walk to school every day. But November 22nd, 1963 was going to be different. I was going home with a friend, and for the very first time, I was going to ride the school bus. I thought riding the school bus was the coolest thing in the world. And I cannot express to you how excited I was. The bell rang, and I literally ran to the front of the school where the bus was parked. I wanted a window seat. Once boarded and having negotiated that perfect seat, it was time for the bus to take off, but the bus didn't move. Instead, I saw the bus driver slumped over the steering wheel, sobbing. I had never seen an adult cry, so this was odd for me. It was odd and it was frightening. And after a few moments, the driver rose from his seat. He walked off the bus. He went to the flagpole in the front of the school, and he lowered the flag to half-mast. He never returned to the bus. I'm sure it was only moments, but it seemed like forever, when the principal of the school came onto the bus to tell us that President Kennedy had been killed and the bus would not run. Instead, our parents would be called to come pick us up. I was only six. I don't really remember reacting in much of any way to President Kennedy's death. But as a self-absorbed six-year-old, I was devastated that I would not be riding the school bus. It was over the next few days, though, that I began to at least have some understanding of the enormity of what had happened. It was the weekend, and parents were uncharacteristically glued to the television set. You just knew instinctively to be quiet when walking by a television, either out of respect or fear of being reprimanded. Oak Ridge, Tennessee, was where nuclear bombs were manufactured, and the whole city was on edge. You could feel it. You'd overhear hushed conversations among adults, and while a six-year-old knows absolutely nothing about politics, you just knew that this young, attractive, vibrant Kennedy family was like royalty. It was like our royalty. And you also knew that our nation was in deep grief. Now, since that day, I have been fascinated by the Kennedy assassination, not in a conspiracy theory type way, but I think because it's my first memory of history. And it wasn't history that you just hear about or that you read about. It was history that for the very first time was played out on live television. So, needless to say, this past Friday, I watched a lot of the news coverage of the 50th anniversary of this event. And I was particularly struck by something that was said by a commentator in Dallas. Do you realize that Dallas had never had an event commemorating November 22nd? It had always been a mark of shame for the city. There is an incredible museum on the sixth floor of the School Book Depository building, but in Dealey Plaza, the only thing that marks this event is a white X painted on the street at the point where the fatal shot hit the president. But this year, the 50th anniversary, Dallas decided that they were going to have a commemoration in Dealey Plaza. And it was a well put together. It was a beautiful ceremony. This past Friday, though, in Dallas, it was really cold and a rainy day. And one of the newsmen made the comment, do you realize that if the weather had been like this in 1963, that none of this would have happened? If the weather had been like it was this past Friday, the bubble top would never have been removed from the limousine. And throughout the news coverage of the day, I couldn't help but notice how many people had something similar to say. I was struck by how many people said, if we had only known, if I had only known, if the bubble top had not been removed, if the parade route hadn't been published in the newspaper, if the Texas School Depository Company hadn't hired Lee Harvey Oswald just a few weeks before the event. Over and over and over again, people said, if I'd only known. And there was great grief and regret. Knowing that small decisions made differently could have changed history and could have prevented this tragedy. Which brings me to today's gospel lesson. You knew I'd get there eventually, didn't you? Today is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday of the church year, and next week we start the first Sunday of Advent. This day is a relatively new addition to the church calendar. We are asked to remember that when all is said and done, Jesus is our King. Pope Pius XI instituted this day in 1926, and I think the reason was that we, especially then, needed this image of Christ as a king. We needed it at that particular moment in time because a man named Mussolini had been the leader of Italy for 3 years, and a charismatic politician named Hitler had been out of a German jail for just over a year, with his Nazi party growing in popularity. And besides that, the world was in a Great Depression that was going to get worse before it got better. It makes sense. It makes sense that we all needed reminding that with all that was going on in the world of that time, that Christ, our Christ, remained King of the universe. But yet, I've always been bothered that our gospel reading for today insists on taking us back to Good Friday. Because that's not a story of glory and majesty. It's a story of failure and shame. It doesn't make sense if you think about it. But if you think about it, it can make sense. It is pretty obvious that no one in this gospel story recognized Jesus for who he was. From the guards to the Pharisees to the thieves on the cross to Jesus' own friends, if they only knew what we know today, things would have been different. Simple decisions, simple choices. And this is normally the place where I'm supposed to now use all these royal metaphors about obedience and honor and servanthood and being loyal subjects to Christ the King. And I don't think that's the point. We cannot put ourselves in the place of those who stood at the foot of the cross because we know the whole of the story. And today we are called to pay homage to a king who conquered, not by decree, but by example. A king not wearing a crown of gold, but a crown of thorns. It's not the image of the king that the world holds, but this is a king who simply asks us to act differently than the rest of the world, to be human in such a way that we no longer crucify God in our midst. It is a kingdom where when the throne seems empty, we recognize that the king hasn't abandoned us, but is rather found among us. It's a king who's found in the hungry person on the street, bounded the weary and anxious parent, the person in a nursing home alone and afraid, the neighbor who is out of work and struggling, the confused and misunderstood teenager, and the person whose illness has changed their life. Because when the throne seems empty, that's where the king is found. And we are called to join him. And you know what? we will fail. We will fail more often than not. We will fail over and over again because we know in our own lives how often we utter those words, "If I had only known." But our King is a King of second chances. Second chances, third chances, you can go on and on. Always another chance. Always another chance for life, for grace, for mercy, for forgiveness. Ours is a King who could actually forgive those who were to crucify him. So why would we ever doubt that this King can certainly open for us another chance, another opportunity in spite of the things we've done and in spite of the things we've left undone? And instead of lives of regret, instead of lives spent lamenting, "If I had only known," our lives can be ruled by the knowledge that in the eyes of the King, our failures never, ever define us. And is there any greater reason for thanksgiving? God love you. Amen.